This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For him too, bro.
Yeah, that's so. How old are you in seventh grade? 12, and I've remembered that to this day.
Oh, yeah, right. Same thing. Right. I'll never forget her saying that to me.
Never forget. Like, it's kind of forgivable, and it also like just makes it look like I had awful parents. You know.
I mean, yeah. God damn, I mean, that's good.
That is just so, you know, you can like, see how not, it happened, but it just
sure.
Yeah, but it's just God damn it, dude. Anyway,
sorry.
I've told that on the cast. I can't handle it right now. Dude.
That's not for the cast, but I don't know that you've ever even told me that story. That
is oh, really?
Good. Yeah. No, I don't think we've heard that one. That's good.
Really? It was so bad, man. It's one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. But I just, you know, I was like, lean into it. Just don't even flinch.
They wouldn't name it that. Oh, sorry. Let me compose myself. Let's do a podcast.
Yeah. And of course, you've never seen it written out, you know? So, yeah, that was tough, man.
All right. Oh, all right. Is everybody ready?
Yeah. Good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, and Ted Smith, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
In the bottom square, coming to us straight from his closet studio or studio closet. Guess what? Name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
The closet studio, boys. God, the pre-podcast chat is always fire. Ted dropping some bombs about his seventh grade life, and well, same for me. What's up, boys? How we feeling?
All right, up there in the top corner tonight, buzzing in from the desert. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hot start. We're rolling already.
I know. Well, It also started when we all popped on. I said, hey, we're not going to talk about this really serious subject. And then we all talked about it for 15 minutes and went, we could do this for 4 hours. Like, it's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all like to talk and it's tough to not take the bait.
And a lot of takes,
you know.
I'm prepared. I got some takes of my own today that I might not catch strays, but I'm expecting a few emails back today, and I'm gonna lean on you boys and kind of pepper you with some questions on things.
Dude, this might be weird, but I've started to look forward to, I wouldn't call it hate mail, but occasionally people will just be like annoyed because, you know, we'll get some inane fact wrong or just have a totally off base take. And of course, all the emails go to me, to my inbox while I'm like working or whatever. So I'll just casually read them. And like, I've started firing back. Like, I've probably emailed back 7 people in the last month. Like, they'll say something, I'm just like, explain yourself. or I'll just like hit them back with the real. I'm like, well, we didn't have time to go in depth, but here's how I feel about the economy. I don't know why. I've been starting to relish it.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Sometimes I'll respond to people, but especially like at the men's room, sometimes it's just like, just kind of a mean comment. I'm just like, I'm not going to give you a response. But I'm always amazed. Sometimes you respond to people and they're like, oh, sorry, man. I mean to come off that, you know, rough. Just, you know, this and that. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. I feel like for me, the problem was I stopped looking at Instagram. And so now I have a lot more free time. And occasionally I'll just be like, you know what? F- it. I got the time. I'll respond. Yeah.
All right. First off, before we get to serious stuff, I want to talk about our buddy, the mayor. His son is now a DJ. So.
Legend.
Him and his buddies put together a event that was in a warehouse, and like the mayor was like, we all got to go. So it's like, all right. So it's Friday night. Just first off, you know what? I'll talk about it on the podcast because I don't care if those guys hear it. Like, just a little bit of confusion. His son, you know, was just like, here's the link. And like, you had to buy tickets. And people were like, did you get tickets? I'm like, I don't know, man. It's Friday night at 6. The doors are at 9. But it was fine. You know, like the event says you couldn't pay at the door. You could pay at the door. But we show up and it's like, I knew it was mostly college kids, but I mean, we were so old. It was unbelievable. And then I didn't really think about it, but I still had on like shorts and like, God, I don't even know what the logo is on this black t-shirt I have. I forget what store it's from, but it's like a nice black t-shirt, like a small logo. And then when you guys went to Burning Man, the mayor made you some hoodies. I got one of those hoodies and I forgot on the back of it, it says insecurity, right? So I'm in a black t-shirt, shorts, black baseball cap backwards. And when these kids are coming in, they just see the back of my jacket. So we're waiting, right? I mean, I forgot how late these parties starts. Like, he's not even going on till midnight. We're in there at like 9. So like,
9 o'clock for the warehouse party. Nice, Ted. That's awesome.
And like, you can only use Venmo to pay. Like, it's like kids, you know, that have never bartended, like bartending. It's just like mass confusion. Like at one point it took so long. I just like the girl next to me. I was like, did you get 2 drinks? Like, I'll just pay for them. Cause she can't get the link to work or whatever. I was like, yeah. Right. And at this point it's Friday night at like 9:30. I'm like, all right, let's get it going a little bit, boys.
Right.
So then three, like first some dude walked up to me and was like, hey, if I go outside to smoke and I leave my beer here, is it fine? And I was like, I mean, I leave my beer there if I was going to go out to smoke. I said, but I have nothing to do with this. I'm just old and in a black shirt because I wasn't even wearing the hoodie at this point. He goes, oh, okay, my bad. And then we weren't like in the main section, but where we were standing, people had to come by to go to the bathroom. So like, we just kept standing there. And I mean, like 3 different times people were like, these 2 girls come over and I'm like, what's up? Or they're just like staring at me. I'm like, yeah, what's up? And they're like, we just don't. Is the bathroom this way? Like,
I
don't
VIP.
Work here, but yes, it is that way.
That's awesome, dude.
I know. Like the third time it happened, I was just like, all right, like guys, we got to stop standing by the entrance into the bathroom. I'm tired.
Yeah, we got to switch up our outfits.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I felt mighty old. And then like, yeah, those 2 girls, I was like, I don't know if they were drunk or on something. You could tell they really thought about it before they were like, is this the way to the bathroom?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, in all fairness to them, you know, I don't think it's just an age thing. You do have the, like, you have a couple traits of sort of the classic security setup. Shaved head, big beard, you know, and like, you know, sort of like sturdy and strong. Like you have,
yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, obviously your personality is not security guard, but like from a distance, I see it.
Yeah. And I mean, I did it. I worked a door in Georgetown. Like I worked plenty of doors before, you know, when I was 20, 21. Hell, I think I was working that door in Georgetown before I was even 21.
Yeah. And the mayor's a big guy. He's standing next to you. You know, these kids are all like, you know, they don't have that like old man strength yet. So they're all like just really skinny. So,
oh,
you know.
Yeah. And then one of his other buddies, because I had gone to a frat party last spring. So his one buddy, the DJ, like that.
I love your life, Ted.
He was just hammered, like to the point where he was like, I want to call my mom again. And I'm like, dude, stop calling. We're not calling your mom again. Like, and he's like, why not? I'm like, because she was pissed the last time you called her. And the mayor knows her. And it still didn't go over that great.
Yeah. So I see him. Worst possible move.
Right. So I see him and he comes over. He's already, you know, he's already feeling it. And he goes, I'm going to do a front flip. And I'm like, please don't. He's like, I'm going to do a front flip. Just hold my hat. Just like, shut. I'm like, I don't want to be a part of this. He does it, lands it. And I'm like, all right, you know what? Spry little son of a bitch. Like, good work. Now another hour passes and he's back to do another front flip. It's a lot more crowded. He did not land that one.
Oh, no. Oh gosh.
It's on concrete.
Oh man. What people listening don't know is the guy standing next to you I'm friends with, and he's a personal injury attorney. That's awful.
This kid's just doing it. I'm just like, you know what I mean? I'm like, because it, like when he first did it, like we'd only had a couple drinks. So I'm like, I'm not even like buzzed up yet. And I'm like, please don't. I don't want to be a part of this.
Dude, so what'd you do? Just like toss the hat back on him as he's laying there?
Once he landed it, I was like, that's my guy.
Hold my hat. Jesus. What a worst way to be roped in. You're like, I want no part of this.
It had visions, Cobb, of me and you sitting on that log years ago when that guy was like, I'm going to do a belly flop. And I went, I wouldn't, man. The water's cloudy. It looks deep. It's not. You got to go like four more feet out. Remember? And I'll never forget. He took off his hat and was like, F it, I'm doing it. And just lands in a foot of water.
Yeah. Hard belly flop into a foot of black water. Just like, there could have been anything in there, dude. I did.
Right.
Yeah. God. Just watching him slowly get up like out of that mud and like slink away was pretty hilarious.
It was, because the whole beach just went quiet. Then he gets up like, I'm all right. But that was about all he mustered. He didn't say a word to us. You're right. He just, and he wasn't a small dude, and just kind of slunk off like, yeah, buddy. Like, you're not wrong in thinking we might be altered on this log, but trust me, we're looking out for your safety.
I tried to warn you, didn't I? Yeah, dude. I mean, it was barely a foot at best. And we've been sitting there for 30 minutes. Like what? Yeah. I don't know. That was hilarious, man. And remember, there was also guys jumping from the top of a like probably 45-foot tree into that same black water. And it's just the bottom is so uneven because it's a river. So, yeah, man, there could have been some crazy injuries that day.
Yeah. Well, and that part of the river used to be a lot deeper. So I think those locals knew. I think that's the same day, too, where Cobb and I, Matt, were sitting just like where it used to bend, and it was actually deep. But it's, you know, you've been in the Stilly, like that water is running pretty good. It's cold. So Cobb and I are just chilling out there, treading water. And then finally, I'm like, all right, man, are we done treading water? And he's like, no, man, let's stay out here another like 10 minutes. And I'm like, I got to go in. He's like, oh, crap, my bad. You're saying, I was like, yeah, my legs are getting tired. I'm getting cold. Like, I got to go to this deep part of the river.
I'm not a college swimmer.
I feel like it's like, you know, like hockey players don't really think about like the ice skating. They think about like the hockey. I feel like playing water polo. I don't think about the swimming. It's like more like standing, having a convo, you know? Yeah, that was a fun day. One of our best, actually, Ted. One of our best. The photos notch. From that day. Oof. Yeah.
Top. Yeah. But with that said, the rave was fun. Me and my buddy came back here. We were way too pumped afterwards, stayed up way too late. I was like, yep. Rave energy.
How was the music?
okay, so here's my, I loved it, but they're not too far out there. Like, they only played maybe one or two newer songs that I didn't even know. But, like, I knew pretty much the whole set. And it's kind of funny because they're all, like, 21 and 22. So when I first started listening to, like, some EDM music, like, those are, like, classic bangers to them. And they, like, throw it on and they go wild. And I always laugh. I'm like, that's so crazy. Like, I remember 15, 20 years ago listening to, I think Tiesto was the first one that really got me into stuff. And I'm just like, yeah. And, like, they're great songs.
Yeah, and surprisingly, a lot of the early 2000s stuff has had some serious longevity. I mean, I feel like even when we go out in Austin, I hear a lot of that stuff now. I mean, I don't hear that much music that I've never heard before.
Yeah.
Like, that's some staying power.
Right. We started, you know, some of them were, like, BSing with us, like, oh, you're his dad. Like, you're his, but we met you before, and they're, you know, and I forget that we do stuff as, like, adults, but, like, yeah, we sat in a suite and watched Swedish House Mafia. They're like, no way.
Yeah, it's like, that's because we have jobs, dog. That's awesome. Speaking of good shows, actually, ACL was here over this weekend, and if you haven't seen them live, I kind of wrote them off, but the Lumineers bring it. Really, really good.
I've heard that before.
Yep. I'll stand behind that.
I get a lot of Lumineers on my Mumford & Sons channel.
I saw them too on Sunday. Also, good live. Yeah. Lumineers were on Friday and Mumford was on Sunday.
I will say, I didn't think I cared for Mumford. And then years ago, they were the headliner at like a Deck the Hall ball for the end. And like at the end of the day, Castle was like, hey, man, I was like, I want to go see that show. He's like, here, I got an extra whatever. You know, not all access, but basically, like, you can get on the floor, this and that. So it was a Wednesday. I used to play in a pickup basketball game. So I remember I went, played hoops on Wednesday night, got back to my place in Belltown. I remember, like, it was perfect setup. Got home, did two shots of whiskey, smoked half a joint on the way up there, like, walk into the old Key Arena as the lights are on because Mumford's coming up next. And, like, I get down to the floor, and they're like, you know, it's like tight security, right? You need wristband, this, and then I just, like, flat. And the lady's like, oh, yeah, go ahead. So I'm like, all right, not my crowd. I'm just going to hang out by the soundboard and listen to the music. Because that's generally, people want to be up close, but stand by the soundboard. It's going to sound the best in any arena.
Yep.
And, man, Mumford just blew the doors off. And I was like, holy shit, these guys are good.
Yeah. I agree with that. They really brought it. Them, I was expecting to be kind of good. Lumineers, I was not, and it just crushed me, both of them. Yeah, man, just live music is a lot of fun. Also, I got to say, shout out to Labyrinth. That guy, live show, pretty solid.
It's funny. I was at my buddy Rob throws, like, every few weeks, we'll throw, like, a Sunday dinner. So very awesome, right? Made prime rib. A vegetable Wellington instead of beef Wellington.
Like, God, that guy's classy. He knows how to do things that I don't even know exist.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one that got me into Yorkshire puddings. I'm like, they are so good. For the record, I also realized most people don't have friends that are English. Yorkshire puddings are savory. It's like a little baked thing with, like, butter on it stuff. Somebody was like, I thought they were going to be sweet because pudding's in the name. And I'm like, yeah, most people probably think that. So I'm just putting that out there to our listeners.
Dude, yeah, he got me into the skin lotion that I use every day. Glass bottle, just fancy. Dude, that stuff absolutely hits. And it blows. I put it on other people occasionally and it blows them away. Like, he's one of the fancier friends that we have. Possibly the fanciest. He's up there. Top five for sure, dude. It's like he's effortlessly fancy. That's what's so frustrating about it.
Oh, and, like, loves to cook and everything.
Yeah.
God, I forget where I was going with this now. Something about so one of his friends, anyhow, there was a guy there that comes up to visit, but he's from Houston. So, you know, eventually we start talking barbecue. And he's like, oh, I make the best brisket, this and that. And I'm like, how'd you get into it? He goes, well, I read the brisket Bible. And I'm like, man, I know a lot about barbecue. What is the brisket Bible? And he's like, it's from this guy, Aaron Franklin. And I was like, oh, Franklin, sure. Like, arguably the best brisket in the country. He's like, right. He wrote a whole book
on how they do it. And he's like, so I just follow his like style to a T. And I was like, huh, all right. Huh. And then I asked him about, I was like, do you ever go to Austin? He's like, yeah. And I was like, what about Blacks? What about, right? Isn't it Terry Blacks?
Don't get it twisted. Those are two different places, Ted. We got to be very specific about this when we talk barbecue. So there is Blacks, original barbecue, and there's Terry Blacks, who is the nephew of Black. Those two families don't speak. Big feud. I personally do not like Black's barbecue at all, and Terry Black's is my favorite. So,
and didn't Franklin just gotta,
details matter?
And didn't Aaron Franklin start at Black's?
That would not surprise me. I know that the guy who started Terry Black's did, but I would say yeah, Terry Black's brisket is noticeably better. We could try both when you're down, but Black's kind of weak, honestly.
All right, I know there's some other stuff there. I was just laughing about that. I'm like, huh. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, we might be able to squeeze a Franklin's run in, too. But there's a lot of, oh, God, my freaking, sorry. I think my girlfriend is drunk and keeps trying to call me and it, like, throws off the stream.
Oh, you sound all right. Also, I respect that she's out there getting after it on a Tuesday.
Living.
Rick Cobb's, like, annoying. I'm like, hey, you go, girl. Have some fun.
Yeah, they have like a retreat for their company.
Oh, nice.
So I was just hosting that.
Well, maybe it was just some ladies getting some vino.
Honestly, if I sound perturbed, it's like every time she calls, like it like rings in my headphones and then like comes through my computer and blacks out the whole screen with her name. I'm just like, like I texted you. We are podcasting. That's why we keep it homegrown here on the podcast.
I do
the closet studio. You can't
angry.
Expect too much. What's that?
I get irrationally angry if anybody disturbs me. And it's like people that don't know that I podcast every Tuesday at 7:30 will like text me on my phone. Like I'm trying to look at the time.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, there's certain friends. Like, I had one buddy. It was like every Tuesday, you want to get a beer after like, right? We've been doing this for years already. I'm like, you know, all three people on the podcast. You know where we're going to be. Yeah. I said what it used to be at 6:30 on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, we are 10 years in, my guy. You know where I will be.
And I remember one week he goes, I know, I was just joking with you. And I was like, now don't lie to me. That'll piss me off.
You've already insulted me. Now you're pissing me off. Oh, that's awesome.
All right. The topic I've been waiting to get to for 2 weeks with you two guys, Matt, I know you are big into it. I think you're one of the only people I knew that sold. What's up with Bitcoin? What's up with crypto,
Matt?
Well, I haven't paid attention in a while. I mean, I sold that stuff. Man, what year did we go to Amsterdam? Was that 2018 or something? Like, I made a few grand and was headed to Europe and figured that's nice. And, you know, I had no idea what was in store. And I just, you know, it's just one of those things that I'm like, yeah, I think about it. It seems valid, but yeah, I just got it as like a investment opportunity when I was living at the barracks. A couple of the guys were really into it, and you know, my rent was super affordable, so I had some extra scratch laying around, and yeah, I bought some crypto, and then I think it was Litecoin like tripled in like a week or something, and I was like, "Good Lord, I'm just taking this to Amsterdam." And then I haven't really used it. Like, I still have some money in my account there. And then when I come across questionable things on the internet that are only you can only buy with crypto, I just have some money for it.
Questionable.
I did not know where that
was. No like further that, questions, though. Boys.
I was waiting on a nice. Like
we know, well, we know about the Indian Viagra. That was a Bitcoin purchase, but yeah, there's other stuff I will not talk about.
Hey, what you do in your own time and the privacy of your own home is your business, man.
Yeah,
not the podcast has no official interest. Wait, Ted, could you clarify for me when you say what's up with Bitcoin?
I mean, not just Bitcoin. I mean, crypto. Just it seemed like for a few years you just couldn't get away from it, and it was like. The impression I always got was there was a little bit of talking down to people that didn't really understand it or weren't investing in it. And like, I had one buddy probably like 2 years ago, I said, I just don't see where everybody's making all this money. And I would always use Matt as an example. I was like, he's the only person I knew that actually cashed out at a really high time and got some money out of it. I mean, Cobb, I know you did, but that was years before. And then I had another buddy who held on, and we were sitting there, and he was like, this is very odd to say. And I was like, say it. He's like, I don't want to sound like I'm bitching, but I'm like, say it. He's like, I should have cashed out. I lost like $2.5 million yesterday. And he's like, I technically never like had it, but he's like that value. And I'm like, yeah. And now I just feel like I don't hear much about it. And I'm wondering where all the crypto bros went.
I like this. So I was actually with a big Bitcoin influencer last night, helping to paint his apartment. Nice. I don't want to say who it is, but he's a friend of mine down here. He speaks at probably 20 crypto conferences a year. So I was asking him the same question. So I still hold about 90% of my crypto for what it's worth. I think, obviously there's bull markets and bear markets. I'd say we're close to the bottom of this bear market. The next bull market, in my opinion, won't be for a while because the next Bitcoin halving, I believe, is, let's see, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I want to say April of 2024. And typically it's 12 to 18 months after the halving that we have a peak. That's going to coincide with them having to renegotiate the U.S. debt ceiling. So I don't know if you guys are familiar, but the debt ceiling has been suspended until January 2025 after the election. So right now, Congress is spending money like crazy. They're running up the deficit really quickly. There are some valid reasons for that and some bad reasons for that, both. It's not like a big, I don't know. I don't care too much about that either way. But so I would say that I think crypto has really struggled to find a use case, one outside of, you know, quote unquote, store of value. Bitcoin's original proposition was to be a risk off bet. So basically a safe harbor asset. So i.e. if you think everything's going to S, then you put your money traditionally like in gold, right?
Gold.
Like gold,
right. Gold bars. I've done that with gold.
So, and you can actually buy gold bullion at Costco now. So Bitcoin, the original narrative was that's what it was going to be, that it was going to be the safe harbor because no more is created, et cetera, et cetera. In some respects, it's sort of flirted with being that, but I would say that it's been pretty tightly correlated with the rise and fall of, the NASDAQ and specifically tech stocks. So if they're collapsing, Bitcoin is also collapsing, where you would want in that scenario Bitcoin to actually be stable or rising. So it may reach that status over time, but I don't know. I will say that the crypto universe was rife with a lot of scams and false promises. However, from the finance side of me, actually really loves a lot of the utility and sort of exotic securities would be the wrong word, exotic instruments that are incumbent in a linked list technology like that. So we can get into some of those, but basically you can just do a lot more with digital money than you can with physical money or money run by a central government. So I do think crypto will be relevant in our lifetime. I think it's going to take some time to get there. And in the time in between those spots, we're probably going to have a couple bull and bear markets. So I would say we're close to the bottom now. SBF is going on trial this week. I think his longtime girlfriend actually testified today. Laura Ellison or something like that. I can't remember her name, but the girl with the glasses. So
I'm surprised she got on her or could even stand up after he threw her under the bus.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of reckonings happening right now, and I would say confidence is pretty low. However, the U.S. government has been working towards approving ETFs, exchange-traded funds, for the big banks to list and sell interest in the underlying security, Bitcoin, and a few other cryptocurrencies. So I think that, quote-unquote, mainstream adoption, which really is not the use of it, but just the investment in it, is
near, but that is not a price prediction on anything. Only that it's in a bad winter. It's taken some serious licks, and there are a lot of scammers and scam coins out there. And I think it's going to take a while to reset and recover from that. And currencies are all about confidence. So, you know, they may or may not have that in the future. But yeah, right. I agree.
That's crypto a good people explanation.
Get pretty over the top.
Yeah. I just was kind of laughing. I was like, I don't see as many of the crypto bros everywhere now and like talking down because people don't understand it. I was just like, I don't know. I'm just old in this way. I'm just like, for a while there, I was like, I want to put some in. I just, like I said, like Matt was one of the only people I knew that like made money and got out in time. Yeah. And then, yeah. So I was just like,
a lot of armchair experts.
Yeah. Yeah. There was.
For what it's worth, even at the bottom of the bear market, your boy's still up, but only probably about less than 40% over a 5-year period. So probably worse than the S&P 500. Actually close, probably. Almost so I can exactly as this.
It's funny. I do the same thing. Like I have some investments that are small that I did years ago, and I'm like, I made about $40 last year, so I'm gonna take that as a win.
Oh, I was saying percentage wise. Oh. Yeah.
You said percentage. I'm just saying, like, I still get a dividend.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think any of us got into this one. I certainly did not. I think they're almost worthless now. The NFTs. I mean, that was the other thing. You just couldn't get away from it. It's like, oh, you got to get them. And again, sometimes I just look at things in like a very basic thing, right? I just go, this doesn't make sense to me. At least crypto, talking to you or a couple of my other friends, I can fathom how it would work. I'm like, the NFTs just never made sense to me. And people were spending so much money on it. But it's like, I don't even physically own it.
Yeah, well, that's like a complex topic. Sam, I also did not buy NFTs. And I think, you know, trusting your instinct like that. Peter Lynch, one of the most famous investors of all time, talks about that a lot. He ran the Magellan Fund for Fidelity. And he basically says, like, look, anybody can be an investor. He's like, look at businesses around in your neighborhood that you love that are doing great. And if they're selling for a reasonable price, buy it. Some of his biggest investments were found by his wife because of different products she liked. And he would go and investigate the company. He's like, wow, this is actually a great company. So I think investment professionals, quote unquote, and finance people try to make things sound more complex than it is. Anyone with a basic understanding of, I would say, seventh grade level math can do that kind of stuff. And you should trust your instincts in terms of you feeling like that. You know, not trusting NFTs was a good call, but also you sort of have a good ability to see trends that maybe somebody on Wall Street wouldn't. You're like, oh, this particular kind of smoke shop is always busy. Like, guess what? The hottest stock ends up being 2 years later. So I think it's good to observe the world around you and to invest accordingly. As far as the NFTs, you're right. So some of them, they were saying that you would own them, but some of them, part of the problem is you're actually just owning like a link to a centralized database, which is kind of crazy. I think NFTs will have their day, not in terms of the crazy art speculative stuff we saw, but from the non-fungible aspect in terms of either provenance for art or things that we already have in a database, but like a paper database right now, things like mortgages and titles to cars, things like that, that we do need a ledger of in our society already. I think there'll be a lot of that as NFTs, but we're a long ways away and the government is in no hurry to get on board with that until they start their own coin, which has been rumored to be happening by the U.S. government. I know China's got theirs just about out. So, you know, it's the technology on a basic level, like linked lists and having distributed databases makes a lot of sense. But it's a huge technological and mental shift for people. And, you know, it may never happen because it's all about confidence. And even if it does, it could be a long ways away. And, you know, Warren Buffett talks a lot about just how unpredictable technology is. And even if you know that a cryptocurrency is going to win, how the hell do you tell between the 2,000 that are available? And so that's one reason that even when I talk about it and people will ask me, I'm always very sure to never recommend any individual currency, only to say that if you're interested, you should purchase one, because the moment right before you click the buy button, you're going to think to yourself like, oh, shit, I should actually really do some due diligence on this and know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Right. I mean, my one buddy would talk to me at nauseam about it. I'm just like, and I did feel bad for him. Like, did you think about cash now? He's like, I did. And he's like, it's just so weird that that money's just gone. And he's like, I had all these plans. And I'm like, well, like, he's done good in life. You know what I mean? He got his MBA and stuff. He's worked for big companies. So it's not like he's going to be hurting. But I'm just like, yeah, that's got to be tough.
Yeah. And then, even with $2 million, even if he was only earning 5% on it, that's $100,000 a year for free. Just a $10,000 a month check.
Yeah.
For doing nothing. Treasuries are higher than 5 now. So. Poor bastard.
I was trying, my buddy's kid asked me something the other day about a bank, and I'm like trying to explain it. And they're like, well, I don't understand. Why don't you just keep the money at your house? And it's like, well, number one, it's safer physically in the bank. I go, but like the money can make some money while it sits in there. It's like, you got to be smart. Have your money make money. And they were just like, okay. And then in my head, I'm like, this kid's like 8. Why am I trying to explain this? like, you know, Barbie and Ken? Yeah. Well, Ken keeps his money in a bank and he's made smart investments. That's why she has a convertible.
Yeah, nice, dude.
Let me break it down to your level.
You know, Barbie, that bitch has everything. You want to know why? Ken, 30 years ago. Think about it.
Right. Ken was maxing out that 401k for years.
Cash on cash return. Diversify your bonds. That's right, awesome,
let's,
dude.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and in the cop topic?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back, and thank you to all our sponsors, Ethereum, Bitcoin,
Litecoin, and Doge,
and Dogecoin to the moon,
to the moon, baby, dude. That's so funny that you say that. God, this guy was helping paint his wall. We literally were hanging a to the moon LED, or not LED, to the moon fluorescent light on his wall last night. I was very on brand, Mr. Smith. You're deeper in the crypto game than you lead us to believe, dude. I could see you being Satoshi.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. Before we get to emails, I forgot to bring this up. Cobb, you're actually going to be in town Saturday, Seattle, Lake Washington, massive game.
Dude, this is like one of the greatest moves I've made. So I had to, my plan was to come up to Seattle on Tuesday next week. We have some stuff going on with work and we're doing some like design changes and whatever. So I was going to come up for that. And then you hipped me to the fact that the UW Oregon college football game, both of which ranked in the top 10, is not in fact at Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon, but is going to be in Seattle at UW Stadium, home game. And as you put it, college game day in town, which I've only been to one other college game day. I painted my entire body my freshman year at Boston College. But you said that it may be the biggest regular season game the Huskies have ever had. And I agree with that. It truly may be. I mean, this is a massive game for all the marbles. And so I switched my ticket. I leave my house at 4 a.m. in Texas. I will be at that game tailgating by 10:30.
Don't get scared. Your dog walked in.
I know.
Now I know who the ghost is when I see that door.
You saw the door swing open?
Yeah, like I didn't grow up here, so like to me it's that big of a game. Now I know the whammy in Miami is a massive one, right? Like I remember watching Washington beat Miami and it crushed me as a kid. I was a Miami fan. So they've had bigger games for sure, right? Rose Bowls, national title games, but I'm like for regular season game, this one's got to be up there.
Yeah, it feels big, and especially with like the dissolution of the Pac-12 and stuff. I mean, you know, this is the one that's going to be, you know, the last record on the sheet. The other thing I was going to say, Ted, I've never asked you this and I've thought about it a lot. Going to UW Stadium, there's of course the folklore that there's sort of what's it called? There's controversy over the origin story of the famous wave. When people stand up in their seats and the wave goes around the stadium, people stand up, put their hands over their head. So I believe there's three places that people think it started. One of the origins people claim is the King Dome in Seattle. I believe another one is Husky Stadium. And then there's a third one somewhere else in the country that they also claim to be the originators of the wave. What are your thoughts on this? Have you put much time into it? I'll look it up right now while we're talking.
I have. From everything I can tell, it did start at Husky Stadium.
Wow.
Which is also kind of funny because I know so many people out here that hate the wave. And I'm like, I don't know. I always like doing the wave at a game. And I'm like, I remember going a deep dive on it. I never heard that until I moved out here. And I was like, I almost feel like Wikipedia gives Husky Stadium credit for inventing the wave.
So I'm seeing right here, the wave known as the Mexican wave or stadium wave when it's outside of North America. So apparently it was in the U.S. Yeah. So some people say that originated, the first thing they cite here is the NHL in 1979. And then, yeah, they have the University of Washington origin story, the University of Michigan origin story. They don't mention the Kingdome. And it looks like a couple other places that it was seen internationally. So yeah, a little bit disputed. I can't read it all. Sorry, my dog is like grabbing my knee.
I love seeing sitting next to somebody that is unsuccessfully trying to get the wave started.
Oh, it's tough, dude.
That's even more fun to me than the actual wave coming through my section.
I always respect it. It takes a lot of activation energy to get that thing rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I've been on both sides of this, right? Like, I've tried to start chants at games where it doesn't work. And then you just have magical moments like... Years ago, Maryland was playing Oregon State down in San Francisco at the baseball stadium. I love the dog. It's just in the camera.
Sorry, dude. Girlfriend's gone, so he just needs some love. He's like, he's terrorizing me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody on here is a dog person, except you.
Yeah. Lifelong cat guy.
I know. But Maryland was playing Oregon State. So I told Miggs at the time, like, hey, man, you fly down to San Francisco, like, I'll get the hotel room. I'll buy these bowl tickets. Like, let's go party. So we go down there. I got us awesome seats. It's at the baseball stadium. So we basically were like, the way the field was set up, we were kind of in one of the end zones, but we were like behind home plate in the club section. And it's, I got them through the Terrapin Club. So it's all Maryland fans. And we're in the front row, row A, seats, you know, one and two on the aisle. So like halfway through the first quarter, like, I'm just like, oh, this kind of sucks. And you know me, I've been ripping beers at the bar across the street with Maryland fans, like ran into a girl I knew from high school, like ran into this like guy that was a famous bartender and basketball referee. I was like, I know you, man. He's like, how do you know me? And I'm like, you referee all the high school games. I used to keep score at DeMatha. So finally, I just start getting into it. And Miggs looks over at me at one point. He's like, do you got like 1,000 people following every chant you lead? And I was like, yeah, this is great. So I've been on the side where it sucks and you look like that idiot. And I've been on the like elation side of like, all right, I got him.
Chant power. Guy. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, dude.
Oh. All right. Can you read emails with the dog there?
Yeah. A question of taste. Gentlemen, apparently clothes from Costco is the new Mr. Goodbar debate. Let the battle commence. Carson the lawyer. Written whilst absurdly comfortable and dirt cheap Kirkland signature gym shorts. Yeah, I did see actually I saved a couple of tweets about it that people wrote, but I can't with the dog, I don't know where my phone is. But yeah, the debate is strong. And some people are saying Kirk signature clothes are legit. And there's people on both sides.
There is. But I told you, somebody called the men's room before they started to answer the question of the day. They were just like, hey, Ted, LARP on. Tell Cobby's dead wrong. I love clothes from Costco.
So I feel like I should clarify. No part of me was saying that people don't love them. What I was saying is that they don't fit well and they make you look worse. That was my main point.
They fit certain people well.
Yeah, if you're built like a square.
All right. That was Cobb. I'm not the most, we are not the most hated two on the podcast, Cobb.
Dude, actually, somebody.
If you're built like a square.
Just, dude, somebody wrote
oh,
in.
Oh, you fucking Oompa Loompa looking motherfucker. Yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the cuts are always like a little bit behind what's going on, but. Anyway, somebody wrote in and apologized, Matt, for saying we were that I was the most hated or something like that. I can't remember. I had a bizarre email exchange with somebody. Actually, they were like being sweet. They were like, don't stop doing the podcast. I enjoy it. Just it's okay to be the heel. Something like that.
Honestly, I forgot somebody emailed in. I thought that was just me and Matt giving you a hard time.
Yeah, no, Cobb no. said we are the two most hated members of the podcast because we live in sunny climates. I was like, sure, yeah, if people want to be jealous, like, hey, I made my bed, I'll sleep in it. And then yeah, I'm the one calling our listeners square shapes.
Dude, that's what it was. So somebody emailed right. in,
hey, SpongeBob.
Like a not for podcast email, and I just immediately it was something about something I'd said. I was just like, first of all, I don't mind being the podcast heel. Every podcast needs a great heel. And so like he came back and like apologized, like, dude, I didn't mean to call you the heel. It just, you know, I'm like, it's all right, man. We need a villain here. Ted's clearly too nice, so it only leaves two of us. Matt's sweet also. All right, greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
You got it. Boys, listening to you guys, trying to figure out how to watch certain things over the last year, but trying to cut back on as much money as possible. Also trying to save my family as much money as possible because I think people pay too damn much nowadays for everything. My parents had Comcast TV and internet, which came out to $280 a month. My wife's parents had cable and internet, which came out to $280 a month. My wife's brother had cable and internet that came out to $230 a month. And I just had basic Comcast internet at $50 a month and was downloading all the movie and TV shows I wanted to watch. It's kind of a long one. Let's see. It lists off the channels. Nice. The downside of YouTube TV is they do not have Root Sports. There's no way to watch the Kraken or the Mariners.
But they have all the NFL stuff now.
Yep. No Pac-12 network. So I have a reputable VPN, but I think you guys could set something up like that for yourselves and save a crap load of money. I'm actually personally in a battle with AT&T right now.
I'm very happy with my Xfinity.
The NCAA's viewing packages are absolutely ridiculous because of the streaming lights. Tough to ferret out what's going on here. Lately, they've been doing ridiculous stuff. Okay, sorry. I'm just realizing how long and rambling this email kind of is. Bottom line, if you want advice setting something like this up, I could do that. Otherwise, I can point you to less than reputable websites I've been using for years to stream live games. Ideally, you need a physical computer, not a tablet or smartphone because they're not as reliable. But if you're willing to put in some headache, I've literally streamed everything I've ever wanted that I can't get through YouTube TV. LARP on, boys. Bart in Bellingham. Dude, that's actually an awesome response that I got to the time to type out. Matt, that's from me saying I couldn't watch UW games down here.
Yeah, I sent you one of those links.
Yeah. That's... Dude, I'm doing one better. I'm flying up to the game.
Yeah.
Now I don't need it.
I'll be dead honest, right? Like some of the extra streaming services I have is just for sports, right? Like, I was like, why do I need Peacock Premium now? Then I'm like, ah, Christ. The Arsenal games, there's a bulk of them that are going to be on that. Like, I got to get that. And then, like, held off on ESPN Plus forever. And then, like, I found out, like, oh, Big Ten's playing on ESPN Plus now. Like, all right, guess I'll get that one.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny how, they sold us that, like, streaming was going to be so much better and Netflix and whatever. And, like, we're just basically back to cable.
I agree.
Somehow it's slightly more expensive.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I cut the cord and this and that. It's like, yeah, all right. Well, I guess number one, you don't like sports. And number two, it's like when you add up all your streaming services, you're still paying hundreds of bucks.
Yeah. Like 4 years ago, there was just like a bunch of people being like, cut the cord and buy crypto. And like, they're really quiet now.
Yeah. Right. Good callback, Matt.
Dude, good call. Are you guys ready for the next one?
They still got those Gucci shirts, though.
I could tell Cobb didn't know much about makeup when he mentioned a smoky blush. Thanks for the laugh. Boys, I don't even know what blush is. Do you guys?
Yeah, it goes on your cheeks.
Cheek stuff.
Nice. All right. I don't even know. Oh, I was thinking like smoky eyes or something. What's the stuff, not mascara, but like what's like the paint that they put around their eyes?
Eyeshadow.
Eyeshadow.
I think of all of it as face paint. Is that crazy? I mean, it seems like between that and the fact that we're still painting our faces, I feel like shows how primal we still are and how ape-like and unevolved. I mean, personally, I think it's awesome. I think women look amazing in makeup, but it is face paint. It's fancy face paint.
Yeah.
It is, I think. Because I've known a bunch of dudes over the years who are like, I don't really care about makeup. I think women look good enough without it. And it's like, that's bullshit.
Depends like on the woman.
A lot of the reason they're doing it is because we kind of like all the women we idolize and stuff. It's like, of course they're wearing makeup. And then, like I said, like if I'm ever doing like a local TV thing and they're like, do you want some makeup? I'm like, please.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need my cheeks and my head all shiny.
Yeah.
And it just looks different. Like, years ago, I did something quick for, I can't remember what they renamed that show, but it was like the second version of Almost Live. And somebody was like, dude, like, you looked a lot better on camera than this other guy. And I go, yeah, he didn't look like that in person. I go, he just didn't use the makeup. Where I was like, where's the chair?
Yeah, those people know what they're doing. They asked you for a reason.
Exactly. Right. Like, hey, you ever watch Big Noon Kickoff or College Game Day? You know what all those guys are doing a half an hour before you see them on set? They're getting their makeup on.
Yeah.
Seriously, it makes a big difference. There was something, there was a book that talked a little bit about super stimuli. They did a bunch of tests for animals responding to stimulus that would be bigger than normal. So like one, I think it was like a type of duck, you know, they went for like the biggest, reddest, like sort of gizzard. And so they put these, you know, ridiculously huge red gizzards on ducks and they got on fake ducks and they got more mating opportunities. And same with like, you know, bolt-ons. God, I can't even think of the real name anymore. Breast implants for women. Like that stuff works. It's super stimuli. I mean, we're already sort of naturally programmed to be looking for, you know, survivability in a breeding setting or whatever. So yeah, Ted, you're 100% right. I think, I think the problem is like some women just have no idea how to put makeup on and so therefore look better without it. And some women just really have a lot of natural beauty. But yeah, makeup's just wild. I don't know. The face paint game.
Who's the funny female comedian? She had a whole special just called War Paint.
I don't know.
Eliza Schlesinger.
Yes, that's who it is.
I saw her live. She's great.
Yep.
Yeah, she's awesome.
War Paint 2013. Nice callback. Also, Matt, thanks for reminding me about Rigback Tones. Those were special.
Yes.
I never had the ring back tone. I was just like, yeah. But I had some gangster ringtones.
Nice. Yeah, I remember downloading ringtones on the internet at one point. You like upload them on your phone. Going back a few topics to the fat moment. For me, it was at the all-you-can-eat King Crab buffet at Snoqualmie Casino. I just kept getting crab, lemon, and butter, and probably ate for 2 hours without feeling full at all. I only stopped when I noticed everyone else I was sitting with had finished and wanted to go. It wasn't until I started walking to the car that I realized I was overstuffed. For whatever reason, when it comes to crab, my brain shuts off signals telling me to stop, I guess.
I'm with you. I could eat crabs all day long. Crab legs, blue crabs. In fact, my buddy Sal, who's been on here years ago, one of the first times I went there, him and his wife took me over to casinos. They had a bunch of different type of crab and crabs on this on the all you can eat buffet. So like I brought Old Bay. He brought Old Bay. She brought a book. She was like, oh, I've been here with him. I know how he is. And she's like, I know you're going to be just as bad, if not worse.
She brought a book.
She brought a book. It's like, yep. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I've told these stories before, like years ago. This had to be like 8 or 9 years ago. Like, I forget what it was, but the girlfriend at the time, I'm just like, hey, let's go to Salty's and have like the fancy brunch. But again, there's a lot of crab legs on there. And like, we're sitting up just at like a two top, and next to us is another couple. But me and the dude just happened to be sitting like on the inside, on the booth side. Mm-hmm. And finally, like my third trip up, I just look over, I go, crab guy, huh? Are we going to have a contest here? And his wife's like, don't encourage him. And then like, you know, a couple cocktails, two more plates of crab legs later, you know, I'm like, no, I'm from Maryland. He's like, no shit. Look, I've spent a lot of time in Virginia. It's where I learned to eat crabs.
That's awesome. Sounds like I've touched a nerve. Also, the Kirkland signature brand yoga pants are fire. They're excellent quality, and I will defend that with a passion. Michelle. People fired up about those discounts, baby. Damn.
That's so good. I get love you. It. That is so good. Speaking of food, this one is for Matt. I have talked about it for a while now. There's a guy I follow. I'm sure he's on all socials. I follow him on Instagram. It's Cooking with Daryl. 2 years ago, I think it was like my niece and brother were like, we love him because he always takes, you know, the big silver like spatulas, and he'd always have a flat grill, you know, a flat top grill. And it used and he would always like click them and it'd be like on the Blackstone. Wow. So like my brother and my niece, that was just like their little inside joke. So I'm like, you got to show me this guy. So I started following him, and then I love him because now he's switched because he got sponsored and it's on the Weber. But like he always does that and everything. So I'm oddly obsessed with this guy. Matt's dad knows him. Matt texts me the other day and he's like, I'm in a football pick'em league with him. I'm like, dude, like number one, I want to talk to him. And number two, like I feel like I get a lot of points with my brother and niece if I'm like, guess who I had on my podcast?
Working it. Yeah.
The podcast.
Yeah. Right. Cha-ching. The podcast.
Yeah, we both won this week. It was a 4-way split, but me and Cookin' with Daryl won 10 this week. And so, yeah.
I got 10. I was wrong. I actually got 10 games this week, too.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. But I was like talking to my dad about like, hey, do you think you could reach out to him? And I was like, oh, he's on the email thread. Like, that's his personal one. That's not, you know, his Cooking with Daryl booking and marketing email address. That's just his normal one. And I was like, all right, I'm in producer mode. I don't need you, Dad. I don't need to finesse this. I'll just directly reach out.
Yeah, and then it's always Pizza Fridays, man. He's cooking his little pizza oven outside. I'm telling you, I've watched so many of the videos, and then like sometimes he brings in other guys that are comic, like what's it, three pieces of pecan or whatever, and then like he also just like he's always cooking for his buddies. He's like, it's our high school reunion, so I'm cooking and this and that. I'm like it's because people do it to me, but it's weird. Like that guy who's just a normal guy that cooks on the internet. I'm like, I feel like I kind of know him.
Parasocial relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, with that said, you know, let's check in with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt,
hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt,
hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with what's Matt.
So speaking of pizza, I had what I would say is the best. I'm done. I always doubt myself on like, is it the best pizza I've had? It was the best pizza I've had.
All right.
This Friday night, Tyler got us tickets to go to a thing called Lavender Nights. There's this farm about an hour away. They do a lavender festival. And then after the lavender are out of bloom, they put up a bunch of lights. And then they do different ones for the holidays, too. So I can go back and get more pizza, I found out. I'm very excited. I might get a season's pass. But it's a kind of a smaller farm. They have a bunch of food available. Like, the lights were cool. And it was fun walking around the farm and going into the gift shops and seeing the lights and stuff. There's a 1,000-year-old oak tree there. Nice. That's pretty dope. I literally was, like, talking to it and stuff. I just felt... I wasn't even high. I just felt compelled, like, damn, 1,000 years, dude? Are you kidding me? That's crazy. But they do their own sourdough bread there. And so the pizza is sourdough pizza. And the dough was just the freshest I've ever had on pizza. I don't know. It was so soft and fresh that I couldn't believe it. And I forget exactly what was on it. Honestly, it was like figs and something and some sort of lavender involved thing. They had a bunch of different types. You could have gotten cheese or pepperoni, but we got the kind of wild one with the lavender in it. And just the sourdough crust was as good as I've had.
And was it like a round or was it more like a flatbread pizza?
So it was kind of like right in the middle. It was a little bit, it was like handmade and just kind of probably about 10 inches and like circular, but kind of had some, it looked a little bit more square than your average, you know, super round pizza because they just make it by hand back there. And yeah, the crust was just like so good that I was like, you know what? I'm not going to, because I always doubt my memory. Like, maybe I know how biased and weird the human mind and memories are. So I was like, at a certain point, I just got to let that go and commit. That was the best pizza I've had. Right. And so I do that Friday night. And then Saturday night, Saturday during the day, we drove out to San Diego. We went to the beach in Oceanside. We got a hotel room.
The
website said the suite we got had a balcony. It did not. I was not thrilled, but that's neither here nor there. Then we got to the beach and, you know, went swimming for an hour or so, went back to the hotel, started getting ready to go see Avenged Sevenfold. And on the way there, we love Ethiopian food. There's really good Ethiopian spots up in Seattle. On I guess that'd be Union Hill right there, not Capitol Hill, right?
I think it's kind of the Central District.
Yeah, Central District has just a bunch of great Ethiopian spots. And so we went to this place called Lucy in San Diego on the way to the venue. And I was like, I'm doing it again. This is the best Ethiopian I've ever had. The injera was perfect. We got the vegan sampler platter and spicy lamb. So if you're ever in San Diego, go to Lucy Ethiopian and follow those instructions. It was phenomenal. And I was like, once again, I was like, I haven't had a ton of Ethiopian since we've moved here. Every time we go to LA, we try and find a spot, but they're all kind of not up to the Central District standards that I've developed for myself. We had some great stuff in Amsterdam as well. So we just have pretty high standards. And I was like, this is the best Ethiopian food I've ever had in my life. And she starts rolling her eyes because I'm just like making grandiose statements all weekend now about this food.
It's a wide range too. The best pizza I've had in my life, the best Ethiopian.
Next would day, you do that? Best Ethiopian, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you do that night? I went and rocked out and saw Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah. So funny story. Then we get to the venue. We got there, you know, the service wasn't super fast at Lucy, but that was fine because we didn't really care about the openers. We got there, we walked around a little bit. We saw about two songs from Falling in Reverse, who was the second opener. And then Avenged Sevenfold was going to begin. They're playing all the music. They set up the stage. They set up the drum set. They test out the lights. They didn't have like a big curtain hiding all this stuff. So like the anticipation building was real. And they had huge crowd, tons of people. And then like 45 minutes has gone by. And I'm like, how long are they going to make us wait? And then about 15 minutes after that, about an hour after Falling in Reverse ended, some random Yahoo walks out on stage and says, unfortunately, and then the boos start. As soon as he said, no. Unfortunately, everybody knew what was happening. And everybody started booing. And he goes, now, before you start booing, then he said, I have an announcement to make. Avenged Sevenfold will not be performing tonight. M Shadows is very sick backstage. He's been trying everything all day to make this happen, but he can't talk. He can't sing. There's nothing they can do. The show is not canceled. It's postponed. They will be back. You'll be able to get refunds if you want, if you can't make the makeup show. But hold on to your tickets. Watch your emails for updates and be cool getting out of here. Then... everybody was real pissed off. The parking lot was a complete nightmare to get out of. And we sat there for probably 45 minutes, just not moving. And then eventually they opened up the exit and we got out of there. And I did not get a chance to see Avenged Sevenfold Saturday night.
That's tough if you've already waited an hour or two.
Yeah.
I have been a part of that, unfortunately, before.
Yeah.
And the headliner was not going to play Pain in the Grass. It was Slipknot. And they did come back, did an awesome makeup show. But it was like, who wants to go out and make that announcement? I was like, I'm not doing that one.
Yeah.
everybody's gonna be super pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. I told Tyler that story on the walk back to the car. It was definitely like kind of fun to just sit there with the windows down and just listen to everybody coming out and like just tried to make the most of sitting in that parking lot for a long time. I was particularly frustrated with the fact that night one of my favorite rappers of all time, Immortal Technique, was performing in Ontario, which is an hour away. So I could have gone to that. And then Power Trip was this weekend down here in the desert with AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Tool, and Metallica. And I surpassed that to go to Avenged Sevenfold instead, which didn't happen. So basically I said, forget Power Trip, forget Immortal Technique. Let's go get some really good Ethiopian food.
Well, what makes it worse is Cobb, all three of us have a personal friend. And even reached out to Matt and was like, dude, I have like two random extra tickets I don't want to go to waste for Power Trip.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know he'd already done that. And I text and I go, hit up MCTP. And he's like, dude, I did. He's in San Diego for Revenge.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a bummer. But yeah, I'm excited to go back to get that Ethiopian food again and actually see him this time. Hoping that, you know, they just play a longer set.
That's what Slipknot did when they came back and played White River. It was like early October and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But it A lot of people showed up. It was a really fun show, but yeah, it's definitely, that's just a bummer. Yeah. There's nothing you could do if the lead singer can't sing.
Right. Right. I mean, there's no one to be mad at. My mind was blown by like the logistics of having 20,000 people in a venue and then telling them all, we can't do this. And then having to reschedule it. You can't bring the same two openers back because they both played their sets. And, you know, how does it all work? Like, I'm assuming the band takes a little bit of a bath financially on that and has to absorb a lot of those costs.
From personal experience, the only thing I can tell you is when Slipknot came back, we just had two local bands go up there first.
Okay.
Because same thing. Like, they were just coming back. They weren't going to bring a tour. And credit to them. It was only like a month and a half, 2 months later, they showed up and played. So, yeah.
So,
but I mean, like, listen, as a consumer of anything, that's the worst thing. Because like, you drove down there, but you know there's people that flew in to San Diego. This is like our trip.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes that's why, like in college football, in the early part of the season, you'll get some lightning delays. And it's like, they're going to wait 3 hours. They got to play this game.
Yeah. No, I checked the Avenged Sevenfold subreddit afterwards, and there was stories far worse than ours. There was multiple honeymoons, a lot of birthdays, people coming from South America, and you know, people that will not be able to make that makeup show happen. And I'm like, yeah, it's a little bit of a drive. Gas is pretty expensive. Maybe if we get another hotel, that'll kind of suck. But like, we'll get some more Ethiopian and we'll get to that show one way or another.
All right. Well, when you go back the next time, stay at Margaritaville.
Margaritaville? You know, we got one in Palm Springs. I don't need to go all the way to San Diego for that.
All right. I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, 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 boop. Cop topic.
I like that. There's one in my neighborhood, dude.
Yeah. All right. So as I'm sure you can tell by the dog sitting on my lap trying to bite the microphone, my girlfriend's out of town this week. And so I realized, well, I didn't realize. I mean, I knew this, but tonight for dinner, me and Ricky, the buddy, ordered Papa John's. It was amazing.
Nice.
And I was thinking to myself, or I was actually just sort of like lamenting, like, man, I really don't know how to cook and haven't learned. I always thought somehow just magically in my like mid-30s, I would know how to cook. So the cop topic this week, why would you or wouldn't you date yourself? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. Why would you or wouldn't you date yourself? I wouldn't date myself because I don't know how to cook. Boys?
Man.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's...
Is that too ruthless?
That's great.
I'm trying to decide how ruthless I want to be on myself. It's like, I can't cook. It's like a...
I'm a pretty genuinely happy, carefree guy. That's pretty funny. I'd like to think... Like, I make myself laugh all the time. So, you know, I'm pretty chill, and those are the reasons I would date myself, and I get to choose one, right? I don't have to list both. So I'm just going to stay with my strong suits, which are, you know, like I love what I do and I can provide for myself financially, but like my general disposition towards every day is pretty positive, pretty grateful, and, you know, I just want to laugh. I just want to have fun. I just want to be chill. There's flip sides to all those things. I have a lot of parts of my life that are not in the best shape because I'm not a very serious dude. But, you know, those make me a pretty good hang most of the time, day in and day out. So that's why I would date myself, because I'm chill and funny.
Dude, I'd like to jump in real quick before Ted answers and just say that I feel like also one thing that's important is you weren't necessarily born that way. You're right. You are an incredibly positive person. You always take a positive spin on stuff, which is one of my favorite traits about you. But we've been friends long enough to see you go through some adversity. And I feel like at some point you made a choice to be a positive person. And that has compounded over the years. This is one of the things I've taken from you that I've been working on too, is it's compounded over the years in a way that I feel like now that's just your default state of being. And for people listening who have any interest in that, I feel like that was not just natural, you know? So anyway,
definitely
it's just
not
something I commend you for. And I think it's a real incredible trait of yours that you probably don't even realize you're doing, but it does make you just sort of a nice, warm light in a room.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm pretty easygoing. I would say the two things I have gotten in trouble with multiple girlfriends is, number one, like, I moved to Seattle basically alone. Right. Like, I moved out with Miles and Thrill, but like, I didn't know anybody here. Like, you know, like, they both moved out with girls. Like, it was, you know, like, I have spent so much time alone that, like, sometimes in relationships, it's kind of weird. And it's like, I just need this. Like, I need a couple nights to myself. It's like, well, what are you doing? This and that. It's like, I might just stare at a wall. I don't know. But I'm just like, I get a little flustered. You know what I mean? If like, I'm just not used to having somebody there all the time. So I still struggle with that all the time.
So relatable, dude. So relatable.
Oh,
that's
right.
My life. I
mean, right. On a different track, but even like Thanksgiving, right? Like by like the fourth or fifth day, like my mom's staying with me like in the morning. Sometimes I'm like, Mom, I am not trying to be rude. Just let me get a coffee and give me 30 minutes. Like, I am not used to having somebody that's already been up, like just in my house ready to chat.
Yeah. Daddy needs a couple bong rips and some coffee, honey.
The other thing I would say that I'm a super extrovert, and like as I just talk about the introvert times I need, but also I have gotten in trouble, like if it's a wedding or like you know, like a big backyard party or something, like I'm like a little dog, and I get electrified talking to other people. Like, you gotta come over and grab me a couple times and just be like, hey. You know what I mean? Like, I've been to weddings where it's like, want to dance? I wanted to dance 20 minutes ago, but you weren't here. And I was like, well, I chat to people. Like, we can dance now, or you could have just asked me. So those are two things that have come up often in the, you know, serious relationships I've had.
Yeah, I got you. Nice.
Seriously, right? It's like, I don't know, man. These are awesome people.
Dude, I didn't realize, I guess, when I was, you know, when I was throwing that question out, like, that's like one of those kind of silly questions that can go deep. Would you or wouldn't you date yourself? I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, like, ooh. I had one girl that, like, we dated serious, and then we still hung out. So we probably kind of off and on dated for, like, 2.5 years. But, like, I remember one morning we had gone to her cousin's, and her cousin was having a party, right? So we go over there, and it's like, can't remember if it was a Saturday or Friday, but like your boy got loose. Right. So like the next morning, right, like I wake up, like she's on the couch because I clearly was sawing logs in the bed and we're at her house. So I'm just like, hey, she's like, oh, what's up? I'm like, all right. Like, hey, you know, got a lot of drunk there. She's like, got a lot of drunk. Uh-huh. Got a little drunk, huh? Do you remember doing shots out of my cousin's cleavage?
Oh my God. God damn it.
I was like, oh.
Are you like, sure that was me?
I was like, right? I was like, like one. She's like, no, here's the video of your like third one. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
I was like,
out of my cousin's cleavage. Jesus, Ted.
She's like, I mean, I wasn't going to say stop because she kept putting the shot glass in there. And she's like, you were already hammered. So I wasn't going to try to like get it. She's like, yeah, that didn't make me feel awesome. Like, yep. Sorry.
Did that relationship work out, Ted?
It did not, but I broke it off, ironically.
Nice, dude.
That
wow.
wasn't a deal That's... breaker.
No, it wasn't a deal breaker. We dated for a while, but just like, and she was super cool. But that morning, she was a little pissed, and I'll just never forget that. Oh, little drunk. You remember doing shots out of my cousin's cleavage?
God, like, I don't even know who this woman is, Ted, but she sounds like a saint. I can't believe you dumped her. Jesus Christ, Ted, you are just feral sometimes. I love that about you.
Well, I will say the other half of that story is she goes, I'll give you credit. We stopped at 7-Eleven. You loaded up a giant chili cheese dog. She goes, you were just holding it. She goes, it never spilt in the car. So I give you credit for that. I was like, she was like, I was convinced you were going to drop that thing.
Oh, buddy. So,
yeah, it was an up and down. That was one of those where I was like, speaking of cooking, I was like, you know what? But do you want me to cook some breakfast? She was like, yeah, I do.
I can't cook, but I won't drink out of your cousin's cleavage. That I can promise you.
Have you met your girl? Have you met all her cousins?
Good point.
Boys. All right. Just, you know what? Go dogs. I'm Lee Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, all right. I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, 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 boop. Cop topic.
Cop topic. I like that. There's one in my neighborhood, dude.
Yeah. All right. So as I'm sure you can tell by the dog sitting on my lap trying to bite the microphone, my girlfriend's out of town this week. And so I realized, well, I didn't realize. I mean, I knew this, but tonight for dinner, me and Ricky, the buddy, ordered Papa John's. It was amazing.
Nice.
And I was thinking to myself, or I was actually just sort of like lamenting, like, man, I really don't know how to cook and haven't learned. I always thought somehow just magically in my like mid-30s, I would know how to cook. So the cop topic this week, why would you or wouldn't you date yourself? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. Why would you or wouldn't you date yourself? I wouldn't date myself because I don't know how to cook. Boys?
Man.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's...
Is that too ruthless?
That's great.
I'm trying to decide how ruthless I want to be on myself. It's like, I can't cook. It's like a...
I'm a pretty genuinely happy, carefree guy. That's pretty funny. I'd like to think... Like, I make myself laugh all the time. So You know, I'm pretty chill. And those are the reasons I would date myself. And I get to choose one, right? I don't have to list both. So I'm just going to stay with my strong suits, which are, you know, like I love what I do and I can provide for myself financially. But like my general disposition towards every day is pretty positive, pretty grateful. And, you know, I just want to laugh. I just want to have fun. I just want to be chill. There's flip sides to all those things. I have a lot of parts of my life that are not in the best shape because I'm not a very serious dude. But, you know, those make me a pretty good hang most of the time, day in and day out. So that's why I would date myself, because I'm chill and funny.
Dude, I'd like to jump in real quick before Ted answers and just say that I feel like also one thing that's important is you weren't necessarily born that way. You're right. You are an incredibly positive person. You always take a positive spin on stuff, which is one of my favorite traits about you. But we've been friends long enough to see you go through some adversity. And I feel like at some point you made a choice to be a positive person. And that has compounded over the years. This is one of the things I've taken from you that I've been working on too, is it's compounded over the years in a way that I feel like now that's just your default state of being. And for people listening who have any interest in that, I feel like that was not just natural, you know? So anyway,
definitely
it's just
not
something I commend you for. And I think it's a real incredible trait of yours that you probably don't even realize you're doing, but it does make you just sort of a nice, warm light in a room.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm pretty easygoing. I would say the two things I have gotten in trouble with multiple girlfriends is number one, like I moved to Seattle basically alone, right? Like I moved out with Miles and Thrill, but like I didn't know anybody here. Like, you know, like they both moved out with girls. Like it was, you know, like I have spent so much time alone that like sometimes in relationships, it's kind of weird. And it's like, I just need this. Like, I need a couple nights to myself. It's like, well, what are you doing? This and that. It's like, I might just stare at a wall. I don't know. But I'm just like, I get a little flustered. You know what I mean? If like, I'm just not used to having somebody there all the time. So I still struggle with that all the time.
So relatable, dude. So relatable.
Oh,
that's
right.
My life. I
mean, right. On a different track. But even like Thanksgiving, right? Like, by like the fourth or fifth day, like my mom's staying with me, like in the morning, sometimes I'm like, Mom, I am not trying to be rude. Just let me get a coffee and give me 30 minutes. Like, I am not used to having somebody that's already been up, like just in my house ready to chat.
Daddy needs a couple bong rips and some coffee, honey.
The other thing I would say that I'm a super extrovert. And like, as I just talk about the introvert times I need, but also I have gotten in trouble, like if it's a wedding or like you know, like a big backyard party or something, like I'm like a little dog and I get electrified talking to other people. Like, you got to come over and grab me a couple times and just be like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, I've been to weddings where it's like, I wanted to dance 20 minutes ago, but you weren't here. And I was like, well, I chat to people, like, we can dance now, or you could have just asked me. So those are two things that have come up often in the, you know, serious relationships I've had.
Yeah, I got you. Nice.
Seriously, right? It's like, I don't know, man. These are awesome people.
Dude, I didn't realize, I guess, when I was, you know, when I was throwing that question out, like, that's like one of those kind of silly questions that can go deep. Would you or wouldn't you date yourself? I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, like, ooh. I had one girl that, like, we dated serious, and then we still hung out. So we probably kind of off and on dated for, like, 2.5 years. But, like, I remember one morning we had gone to her cousin's, and her cousin was having a party, right? So we go over there, and it's, like, can't remember if it was a Saturday or Friday, but, like, your boy got loose, right? So, like, the next morning, right, like, I wake up, like, she's on the couch because I clearly was sawing logs in the bed, and we're at her house. So I'm just like, hey. She's like, oh, what's up? I'm like, all right. Like, hey, you know, got a lot of drunk there. She's like, got a lot of drunk. Uh-huh. Got a little drunk, huh? Do you remember doing shots out of my cousin's cleavage?
Oh, my God. God damn it.
was like, oh.
I was like, sure, that was me.
I was like, right? I was like, like one? She's like, no, here's the video of your like third one. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
I was like,
how do my cousin's cleavage? Jesus, Ted.
She's like, I mean, I wasn't going to say stop because she kept putting the shot glass in there. And she's like, you were already hammered. So I wasn't going to try to like get it. She's like, yeah, that didn't make me feel awesome. Like, yep. Sorry. Sorry.
Did that relationship work out, Ted?
It did not, but I broke it off, ironically.
Nice. Nice, dude.
That
wow.
wasn't a deal That's... breaker.
No, it wasn't a deal breaker. We dated for a while, but just like, and she was super cool. But that morning, she was a little pissed, and I'll just never forget that. Oh, little drunk. You remember doing shots out of my cousin's cleavage?
God, like, I don't even know who this woman is, Ted, but she sounds like a saint. I can't believe you dumped her. Jesus. Jesus Christ, Ted. You are just feral sometimes. I love that about you.
Well, I will say the other half of that story is she goes, I'll give you credit. We stopped at 7-Eleven. You loaded up a giant chili cheese dog. She goes, you were just holding it. She goes, it never spilt in the car. So I give you credit for that. I was like, she was like, I was convinced you were going to drop that thing.
Oh, buddy. So
yeah, it was an up and down. That was one of those where I was like, speaking of cooking, I was like, you know what? But do you want me to cook some breakfast? She was like, yeah, I do.
I can't cook, but I won't drink out of your cousin's cleavage. That I can promise you.
Have you met your girl? Have you met all her cousins?
Good point.
Boys. All right. Just, you know what? Go dogs. I'm Lee Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.